When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Yeah, my reign is over, Ben.
It is indeed.
Yep, you're back to hosting, I guess. Whatever.
Although there's a brand new reign that's currently happening.
Yeah, you think so?
I think so. I think I mean there is a special treat for those folks who view the pop via our YouTube upload. However, if you're listening, what you can't see but probably will hear in essence, because I feel like. The change that you have made has affected the whole office this morning.
You think so?
I think it's brought a ray of sunshine.
That's all I'm ever aiming to do.
I know. Yeah. And it's, you know what? I think that like it took, I mean, there's a degree of different things. You could come in every morning and holler good morning at the top of your lungs and see if that raises morale.
Yeah.
You could potentially, buy a round of spirits. You know, for the crew, you know, as a
regular morning treat.
As a regular morning treat. I mean, it's like, hey, it's 10 a.m. Why don't we?
Right.
However, the thing that we have now found to be the most effective by far is Jay wearing a completely natural looking blonde wig.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It's like a whole different vibe.
It is a whole different vibe.
It's like Friday Jay. Right?
Yes.
Right?
Fry Jay. Oh, man. This is...
Thank God it's Fry Jay.
Yes, I know. It's like, I mean, everybody is going to be in such a better mood now. But it looks... I mean, it looks amazing. It, like, changes...
Well, thank
you. It is wild to me. And I often do find this to be the case, but, yeah. How much it seems like someone's face can physically look different based on their hair.
Right.
You know, it's like if somebody has, like, a drastic haircut, or, like, for us, before we put, like, our hair up in the morning, I feel like we always look a much, much, much younger version of ourselves, like with our hair kind of just like laying flat on our foreheads.
Yeah, it's a very different vibe altogether.
It is a very different vibe. Yeah. But yeah, so how does it make you feel though?
Oh my God. It's so, I don't know. So I got the wig because we were doing Spirit Week last week as you're listening to this, but as of recording it is presently today Spirit Week. So today was like, you know, the theme was Quidditch World Cup, which is just Harry Potter in general. So just stuff like Harry Potter, however you want.
Right, because I mean, and just about anything you wear could be something that you wore to the Quidditch World Cup.
Exactly, right? Yeah, and I mean, especially the character I'm dressed as today, which I got the wig because I was doing Lucius Malfoy. He basically dresses the same no matter where he's going, which is like to the nines.
Yeah, that guy, it's like, wait, this is always one of those things. It's just like the Dursleys. Like at some point in time, the Dursleys had to take Harry to like an optometrist.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they, and I feel like they got him like the round glasses thinking like, oh yeah, these are like the cheap ones, you know? And it's
right.
Like, little did they know they were going to go on to be iconic. Well done. But that's like one of those things that occasionally...
Iconic.
Well, that's an excellent pun. Unintended. But it's like at some point in time that day had to happen. They were like, we need to take him. I mean,
right.
He's like, he's spilling bacon.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
we gotta.
We can't make him do chores if he can't do chores if he can't see.
Exactly. So, I feel like the same is true for Lucius. Like, as much as he pretends like he's above it all and he doesn't care, it's like somehow, some way, he still went and put on like a 3-piece suit in all black,
right,
and shined them shoes,
mm-hmm,
and has his walking cane and, right, and everything.
He's out there doing it, man.
Narcissa's like standing in like the foyer, being like, "Are you ready yet?"
Yeah, like I changed my hair color with magic 3 hours ago.
Anyway, so but yeah, you've taken on like a whole new form and it's making me, I'm excited. I was like, I sat down and I was like, it's gonna be a good episode of the pop. I can already feel it.
Yeah, well, so because like all of my sons have like the crazy like platinum blonde like Malfoy colored hair.
Yes, they do.
So it has occurred like forever. Like I've been waiting so long just to be able to read Luke the Harry Potter books so that like, once he's aware of it, we can dress up. Let he could do such an easy and obvious Draco Malfoy, like, with so little effort. It would be tremendous and awesome. And I was like, when that day comes, I gotta have, like, my Lucius costume ready.
You gotta be
like that. Now, as it were, it seemed like that they might be further off, but then I saw this opportunity, like, oh, Harry Potter dress up day. I'm gonna do it. So
I would like
on and I got my Lucius wig.
I want to think that at your house, in your closet, you will build like a shrine, if you will, that is like lit at all times and is like, it's like a mannequin that like holds the wig in perfect place, and it's like ready to go on, and like it's got like your full black cape get up and everything. It's like, you know, like break in case of emergency type of situation.
Right. Like time to go to a Harry Potter something.
Yeah. Like Luke is like, this Draco Malfoy character, he sounds a lot like me. I'm like, this is the moment.
This is it. Although, here we go.
Although, to be fair, I haven't seen Luke exhibit any of the behaviors other than looking similar to.
Yeah. No, he's not like Draco in any way other than he has blonde hair.
Yes, indeed. Which is really all you need for Halloween.
It's really all you need for Halloween. And so, yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. So we got here this morning and I was like trying to look at all the things we were doing. You weren't here yet. And I was like, you know what I'm going to knock out? It's my picture. So I went to go change, and that's when you arrived. And then I emerged from the bathroom like in full costume.
I know. I was like, this is not what I expected. This is not how I anticipated this morning going. But I think it actually turned out, I feel like, my whole morning around.
Yeah. You
know? Alice always says I walk around with like my like little rain cloud. Oh. You know, she's like, oh, Ben's got his little rain cloud.
A little Peppa cloud up there.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. You know,
I know what your Encanto power would be.
Luisa's.
Yeah, no, nope. Sure, Ben.
Extreme.
Sure. You keep telling yourself
extreme
that.
Emotional turmoil. Yeah. That's me.
No one says Peppa's not the middle triplet, okay?
It's so true. It is so true. It's like they're triplets, and yet there's a very obvious like hierarchy of who the first, who the middle, and who the youngest is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good point. We're really hopping between fandoms this morning.
Hey, man. That's how we got to do it. Yeah, it was really funny. So I had my Lucius costume on earlier, and then I switched back to my regular clothes, but you guys suggested I continue to wear the wig for the pop, and now I'm just wearing my like sort of summer clothes, and it was so funny to me, like how when you're in the Lucius costume, it's like very much like it's like a very evil looking wig, but then as soon as you put the summer clothes on, it's like, what's up, dude? Like,
I know
you want to hit some waves.
It literally seems like you are about to like bust out a surfboard mm-hmm. at any second, and like go have like a burger with a pineapple on it or something.
So there's just a lot of uses for a blonde wig, is what I'm hearing.
It sounds like it. It sounds like it. Do you think you will get the California burger at lunch today?
Oh, maybe I should. I keep wearing the wig.
Oh my gosh.
I can't imagine. I feel like it's really, to me, it's like really obvious I'm wearing a wig, you know? And it's like, if I were to walk around outside, do you think people could tell? I feel like they could.
I feel like they could probably tell.
I feel like they could.
I think they could probably tell.
Kat is in the other room and she was just like, it's pretty obvious. But you know me, Kat.
And it really would be astonishing just to like go. And I mean, this would be like getting to go and walk a day in somebody else's shoes.
Exactly.
And just be like, am I treated differently? Like, how does this go? What is life like?
This would be such a way to like meet a brand new group of people. And then hopefully they couldn't tell you were wearing the wig.
Hopefully and probably.
They'd be like, well, dude, I love your hair. And I'd be like, thanks, man. It's a lot to maintain. But
it does seem like, because it is like brand new, everything is like so, it's so straight.
Right.
And so
it hasn't like, been like tossed around or anything.
Right.
It is crazy to me, though, how like stuff like this can really like change the care. I feel like a few times we have attempted to shoot a video called The Council of Dumbledores.
Yes, we have.
And so for that, we also have like a, you know, like a silly beard and wig get up that goes with the Dumbledore costume. And it is always humorous to me that like once I'm in the costume and I have to do the character, it like really feels like you have so much more permission to be silly and like come like. It like helps me come out of my shell being in the costume.
That's amazing. That is amazing. And I wonder if like as an actor, like out there in the real world, how frequently that like ends up being the case. Like, because so often it must be the case that you were selected for a particular role because you embody certain characteristics of of the character themselves? Or like, how often is it the case that like somebody is playing a character that is just like not like them in any way, shape or form, and like they had to like step into this other persona entirely? Right. Yeah. But, like, this is always the thing that I wonder about myself, like if I were to ever try and go and act, which is like, it's one of those things that like I've never really had like a whole lot of like underlying ambition to go and like pursue that as like an activity. Yeah. And yet sometimes like whenever I'm like watching something, I will be like sitting there like wondering to myself, it's like, could I pull this off? Could I play this character?
Right.
You know, and like I think a lot of times it's like, it's almost like a game that I'm like playing in my head. It's like, so far up until this point, I think I could. I think I could do it. And then it's like, at what point did they have to do something that I'm like, I don't think I could have done that.
That's the one
right there.
That's tricky.
Yeah, but
anytime they have to do any singing.
Yeah, that would be really tricky. Yeah. But like, that's the thing too, is that like, if you're playing someone else and you're embodying that someone else so well, maybe it's just like you. It's like, you know, you put like the Dumbledore costume on and all of a sudden it's like you can sort of be like the kooky character that we've created.
Right, it's like I would never like sit down around a campfire and just like sing a folksy song or something.
Sure.
You know, just like my own personal thing. But it was like, this is the scene. So what's going to happen is like your character is going to come in, you're going to sit down, you're going to talk to that guy, and that's going to remind you of a song. You're just going to sort of break into it and then everyone will join you. It'd be like, okay, well, so the character does that, so I guess I'm allowed to do that, you know?
Exactly.
Like, no one's going to think it's weird if I'm doing it because I have, like, permission to do it because of the setting. So it's not weird. I'm not really doing it, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So this goes back, I think, to, like, a period of time. We've talked about it before, but, like, when I was first in, like, my high school years, first starting to go out, like, I had, like, my own money from, like, working my first job at Petland, and I was, like I would go to the store and like, you know, brother-in-law, best friend, GMA member Mike was like same thing then, except he wasn't my brother-in-law yet.
Yeah.
But like he would go and shop at PacSun. And so it was kind of like one of those things like where I like went with him one day and like I bought like my first ever brown Billabong t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
I know, which was super cool. But it was like, I remember that being one of those things where it was like, I tried it on and I was like, huh. Do I look good in brown shirts?
Is this a thing?
And so then it was kind of like, well, maybe next paycheck I'll come back and get another shirt. And like what I kept finding myself doing was, it was like I had discovered like, okay, I kind of like it when I go and pick out clothes for myself because they're like a better representation of like what I would choose to wear versus like what I primarily wore to school up until that point, which was like exclusively like race t-shirts.
Yeah.
So we would do like 5Ks all throughout our childhood and stuff. And so like almost always what I would wear to school was a race t-shirt that was like two sizes too big.
Right, like you didn't really choose this, it's just what's in your drawer.
And like even that, it was like the top of my drawer. It's not like I like leaf through it to see like, you right. know, which is my favorite race t-shirt for today. But what happened was is that I was only ever reaching, when I went to the PacSun, I would only ever reach for brown t-shirts over and over and over again. It was like, it hadn't occurred to me that like, it was like, I have discovered that like this character of myself knows how to be outside of my wheelhouse this much, and this much includes exclusively brown t-shirts.
Right.
You know, and it was almost like I had to like work up the courage to get to the point where it was like, maybe I could try a gray one on.
Maybe I'll get a gray one. Maybe I'll go all the way from brown to gray.
Brown to gray.
It's like anything too bright here. Nothing blue or green or anything.
Well, maybe we'll
make our way to yellow in a couple of decades. But
Right. To this day, I think it would be very unlikely for you to see me wear like just like a red t-shirt.
A red t-shirt. Yeah, you're right. You don't wear a lot of red, do you?
I don't wear a lot of red. Unless it's like a, like if it's like within like a flannel context, I can do red.
We used to have those like red Heather Hey Brother shirts once upon a time.
We did have those.
Perhaps you would be caught dead wearing.
I would be caught dead wearing. Yeah. That's a good point. I'm a big fan. Any t-shirt, any color t-shirt, if you make it Heather in color, like in like the what is the right word I'm trying to find here? Like,
Heather.
Heather.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what a Heather shirt is.
Right.
That like always makes it like that much more approachable.
It's like more, but it's more like a more casual, you know, I'm just wearing like a bright red shirt over here.
I know. Yeah. Like a solid red shirt. It's like, I don't think I could do it.
I don't see many people wearing just red. Just plain red t-shirt though.
Maybe this is like one of those things. There's an episode of Scrubs, I think at one point in time, where they're talking about like the colors that you wear and like the impact that it makes on people.
Okay.
And it's like, if you wear like baby blue, then it's like so much more like approachable and calming, and like, you know, like it makes people think that you're going to be kind. And if you wear like dark orange, it's like, "Hey, Buster."
And everyone's like, "I don't know about this guy.
I don't know about that. What is that? Dark orange?" So maybe that's the thing. It's like red is like anger, and therefore it's sort of like, you know, you don't want to wear red because then everybody's going to approach you and think you're angry.
Right. Yeah, sure. Maybe I wonder if people like naturally like settle on that.
Right. Right.
Like, oh, yeah. Through like reasons I couldn't put into words. I don't like wearing red.
Right. 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 But anyway, so to bring this back to acting, I feel like this is almost one of those things where it's like maybe the real reason that I like the idea of acting is because it's almost like if somebody gave me a role as like a particular kind of character, then it would almost be like someone else has granted me permission to act a certain way, exactly like you were saying. Like,
right.
It's like the costume is sort of like, well, now that I'm wearing it, I can be kooky if I want to be, like, because it's like I'm in the costume and you get it, it's part of the bit, like, haha.
Yeah.
But that would almost be like the brown t-shirt, you know. It's like I could almost see a world like where if I ever acted whatever my first role was, I feel like that would be all I would do for like the next like 5 years.
Right, you'd be like, yeah, I'm you need an airline pilot actor because I'm really good at that.
I can be like one very specific kind of stern airline pilot. That's kind of like my wheelhouse.
That's like my specialty. Need that in your movie, you just give me a call.
Right.
There, and everyone would be like, hey, this guy's always like a pilot. He's like so good at that.
I know. Well, speaking of that, that's actually a really good transition to the other example I would have of this exact thing. So also for Spirit Week this week, we had like our Disney bounding day. And so one of the things that we did when we did the Galactic Star Cruiser, you having trouble there?
I'm trying to drink from my mug here and I'm not used to having long hair that falls in my face. It's a lot harder.
It's just all sorts of everywhere in your face. So anyway, but the so we have our Disney bounding day, and like once upon a time we did the Galactic Star Cruiser. I put together an outfit that was sort of like an homage to Boba Fett, but like it's like the way that bounding works is that you're wearing an outfit that you could just conceivably be wearing anyway. It's just like, it's like the little feature. So I have like a red, like just like a bright red belt and like a vest that comes over. And I do have like some Boba Fett like patches, like orient, like, you know, fixed on it and stuff like that.
Right.
And then I even have like a pair of like Boba Fett shoes, which are kind of cool. Cause it's like, you know, that does like sort of like maybe like the very edge of like starting to step over into like potential like costume or something, or very intentionally like these are Boba Fett shoes.
Right.
Like this is not just, I don't know, like an outfit that's Boba Fett inspired. So anyway, there's that. But what we discovered, we went upstairs on our roof and we took a picture, and I always do, like I feel like every year on Spirit Week, or going back to when we used to do the December Give-a-thons, we would take a whole bunch of photos. And I have, over the course, I think in like 2017, and then like again in like 2020, and then again yesterday, took a photo with like a space oriented like helmet of sorts,
right?
And I always do like the same sort of like stern, like look off into the distance, like it's sort of my like my go-to, like this is how I know how to look cool in a photo. And it's like I have learned exactly one way to take this photo, and I have done the exact same one
every time. You have a helmet
every single time I've done it, going back to like 2017.
Wow, that's
and
funny.
Yeah, and so it's really funny because like Ethan saw the post from yesterday, and then he was the one who took the one like in 2020. So he went back and he was like, he posted it in our group Slack this morning, and he was like, some things never change. And I was like, wait a second, I don't even think that's the only other one like this. Like, I have another one. And so this was something that I was also thinking about, the brown shirt problem. It's like I know how to wear the brown shirt.
Right.
But it's like when it comes to taking a photo, or I have this issue as well, whenever we're like taking a family photo and it's like, no, let's take a silly one, and everybody's supposed to make like a silly face.
Yeah.
Do you have a go-to silly face that you make?
Let's see. Just like, let me try and get into that moment. I'd probably just be like,
mouth open, like, tongue out, yeah, eyes wide.
Eyes wide. Yeah. Mouth open, tongue out. That's probably what I would do.
I know. Yeah. So I feel like if people are like, do a silly one, and I'm like, it's like, like a cringy face or something. It's like, how do people learn what their silly face is going to be? Do you practice this?
I don't know. Nick, I can tell you that my son Nick's silly face is just like mouth closed, tongue out, just and he'll do it every time we take a photo, no matter what. And part of me is just like, I don't even care because you're still smiling and it's adorable.
No, I know. This is the thing. I think as a parent, this is one of those where like you always want like that picture perfect moment where like, you know, you sit down and everybody's smiling at the camera and it's sort of like, haha, look, we're a happy little family. But I also feel like there is so much to be said for the much more candid, like if this is the way that the kid actually behaves in this particular moment, then when you look back on it throughout the lens of history, it will give you such a better representation and memory of like who they were at that time.
Yeah.
Like we have this really funny photo of us. I think it was at like Busch Gardens, maybe.
I think so.
Where you're actually, if you're a longtime pop listener, you are actually wearing the yellow ketchup splatter.
It's got a guitar on it. It's a guy playing a guitar.
If you say so.
The yellow shirt with the guy playing a guitar on it, man.
Right, yeah, or blood. It could be blood. Jay could have had a flesh wound.
Been hit. Someone could have thrown paint on me.
Yes, yeah. Or a spear. But the picture, I always think the picture is really funny because I feel like we're all sort of like embodying a little bit of our personalities at like respectively, probably, you know, I bet I was like 9, you were maybe like 11, and Tyler was maybe like 6.
Yeah.
And like, so I think I'm just sort of like smiling at the camera and you've sort of got like a cool guy, like, you know, like I'm starting, like I'm in middle school now,
like,
you know,
like cool for this.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's like, like, you know, a little bit of like a little bit of like, I'm over dad taking photos of me, but like, I also know it's like, this is a thing.
Right.
And then Tyler's like literally like cross armed next to us, like
staring at the ground. And is like, yeah, up bottom lip out, just like,
and just like, yeah, just like very pouty. But like, you know, I think it's just really funny because then when we were at the beach a couple of weeks ago, we were trying to take a picture. So there are now 7 grandchildren underneath our grandparents, or out underneath our parents. And so we're trying to take like a photo of mom and dad with all 7 grandchildren. And so like Luke very similarly had like a face that he did, like where he sat down and, you know, I probably took like 60 photos just trying to get one where like where everybody was looking at the camera and everybody's like doing this. And so as you're like scrolling through all of them, it's really funny because you can tell Luke didn't want to take this photo.
Yeah.
But he is sitting there stoically not moving and maintaining the face that he decided to have.
Yeah.
For all 60.
Yeah.
Whereas
like you scroll through every picture, like everyone else's face changes, something moves. Luke doesn't move at all, nor does his face. He's just like, I'm here. Do the pictures. Come on. Hurry up.
Yes, exactly. Yes. I believe there's an arrangement involving gummy bears.
Yes, I want some gummy bears. I was told maybe that I'd get some candy if I sat here and took this picture. So let's do it.
Right. So, and it's funny because he is also like the oldest. So he has like the most like, you know, amount of like, okay, I understand that this is something we have to do, but also like, you know.
Right.
Like, but anyway, so I thought that was just like, I think that's like, it's a good testament to where like whenever you're taking those family photos to just be like, you know what? It's okay if like, if they're like a little bit like quirky.
Yeah.
Similarly, I think at Christmas, maybe a couple of years ago now, we had a great one with your family as well.
Yeah, where everyone's just like going bananas.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, it's Christmas and there's like, you know, candy and it's been like a whole, like, there's been like gifts,
yeah, there's
and
excitement
and everybody's
like, yeah,
tired. And so, I mean, it's of course like understandably like one of those days, but you've almost got like the photo of like everybody like looking at the camera smiling and then like 3 seconds later, it's like just pure chaos raining.
Yeah.
And it's like, yes.
Okay. Right, Instagram versus reality.
Right,
yeah.
Ah, memories.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that this is like my big question though is yeah, like can and why is it the case that you almost feel like at times like you need permission to like allow yourself to become like an alternate version of yourself? Like I feel like maybe there's such reliability to the way in which people know you and you're worried that if you change it, it will change the way that they see you.
Yeah, it's something like that. Do you remember the show? I'm sure you do. The show Heroes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Heroes. Great first season. One of the best on TV.
Yeah.
Oh man. The writer strike back then in like 2007 or whenever it happened just totally wrecked that show. But season one of Heroes was fantastic. It was a show about like, I mean, exactly what it sounds like. It's just people get superpowers and they sort of discover it. And then, you know, whatever happens, there's a bad guy. But the bad guy in the show is named Siler.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I always loved Siler's character. I thought he was easily the most interesting character on the show. But one of the things I think that I really liked about him was that outside of just his, well, I guess his power was like intuitive intelligence or something.
Like he could be the person you needed them to be or something.
Like
I am trying to remember Siler. Yeah. Like Zachary Quinto plays him.
He was the bad guy, and what he would do, his power was that he could like look at other people with powers like brains and learn how their power worked, and then he could just do it.
Yeah.
So he could acquire other people's power, but because he had to look at their brain, he would like use telekinesis to like slice their top of their head off. And you know, there was always like, uh oh, Siler was here.
I know. Yeah.
You could always tell. But then every time he had a new victim, he became that much more powerful or whatever. But his real power was that he could like similarly do this in like a very like silver tongue situation.
Yes.
Where he could just walk into any situation and just like flip into a new personality and just be like that new person all the time, and like I don't need any permission by anyone to just start acting a completely different way, and no one here knows me, so they'll just treat me exactly the way I am or whatever, like exactly the way it's like, I mean, I guess it's just like conning people for the most part, but
right.
It was like that was like such the fun part of his character, was that he could just like immediately warp into other people on like a switch,
like who you needed to
be. Needed to be. And there was something like very, I think, like freeing feeling about that.
That's really interesting as well. Yeah. Because I feel like we you and I both just finished like rereading like the Hunger Games series and like the Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, and so President Snow, like you, like the Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, in case you're unaware, is like his like prequel. So like you hear about like the 10th Hunger Games ever, and he's like a mentor. So that's like the brief version of it. But he's also like a pretty charismatic, can kind of go in and like,
yeah,
like charm his way through situations and stuff like that. And I feel like that is also a character that like sort of resonated with you. And even before we came on to do the pop, I was talking about how like, I was like, you've got like your Lucius thing, like all, you know, Luscious by Lucius by Jay. And then you've also got like your Vader, like with your son Luke, you know? So like, you've got like, I was like, as you were talking, I was like, it's interesting to me the way that you resonate with villains, because none of them seem like you at all. Like none of those are characters, but it makes me wonder if like they have something about them, like a confidence or like a like something that appeals to you in a way that is like obviously I know that you are not a
I don't aspire to be villainous in any way.
Yeah, like you do not seem like the villain archetype, but it must be the case that like there's something about their swagger or confidence or something that like that you're sort of like, I like that.
You might be right. The thing about when you read the Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes is like, I think what's so tricky about it is that like it almost has to be very carefully written, because you're reading the whole thing from President Snow's point of view as a teenager, and the whole thing is that he's like an extremely charming character.
Yeah.
And like very smart and very aware of like the perceptions in the room and like what matters in any given moment, and like that's his real skill or whatever,
right?
Is like managing all like the expectations and perceptions and like being able to excel in that way. And it's like you have to be careful, because like, you know, if you've read the obviously everyone's read the Hunger Games before they read this, and it's like, you know, he's the bad guy,
right?
But like the way he like reasons things out in his mind, sometimes like, oh, I see where you're coming from, and you're like, no,
right.
Do not do that.
Yes.
Actually, I just watched a really interesting TikTok almost about this exact same thing, where there's like it was this guy talking about how Hollywood has a very niche kind of movie that they are like almost not allowed to make, like they can't execute it very well, almost like by design.
Uh-huh.
And it is like, you can't make movies about cults. Because if you do, you can't effectively make a movie about like a cult or a cult leader or something, because the very nature of writing the most effective cult leader would like if you did it well, the audience themselves would be intoxicated
by the
cult leader.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Right. And like, and so then the example he gives is like, now there is one chance, there is a really great example of where they almost really kind of like pushed it too far. And the example he gives is Fight Club.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Where it's like, where he's like, the whole thing is about how Fight Club is a cult. And Tyler Durden is this like extremely macho, charismatic, good looking, handsome, good with words dude.
Yeah.
And like everything he tells all the men who join the Fight Club is just that, like, you know, society is taking away your masculinity, and like, you join me and I will give that back to you. You know, you've been turned into like a mindless minion or whatever. But of course, everyone joins the Fight Club and then they're immediately turned into like mindless minions that work for Tyler Durden now.
Exactly.
And they just
yeah.
go out and commit terrorism. But like, everyone walks away from the movie and it's like they just forget the second half. All anyone thinks when they walk out of Fight Club is, man, Tyler Durden was awesome. You know, and it's like, yeah, you sort of missed the point.
Yeah, I know.
Like you were intoxicated by him as well.
Dude, they had Brad Pitt playing Tyler Durden
exactly.
with perfectly square abs.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, that's like when I think of that, I always think of that scene in the basement where I'm just like, how on earth was he that like that ripped?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that was the moment that Brad Pitt became like the name that is just like commonly associated with just like general good looks.
Right, yeah, yeah. It did some work for him, for sure.
It certainly did. But that is a very, very good point. And it's kind of interesting because I even remember, like, you know, through the like Infinity Saga, like with Marvel and the MCU and like leading up to Thanos and everything, there's like the whole like Thanos had a point. Like I know that like even ourselves, you know, it's like Thanos comes across as a pretty compelling villain because like at the end of the day, like there's like, I always think about the scene and like the giant big throne room where he's like talking to Gamora, and there is like a throne sitting on top and he's like sitting on the stairs in front of it.
Right.
It's like, I think even like that demonstrates the way in which that like Thanos is not your like stereotypical, like, I want to be the leader of all things.
Right.
You know, like in the same way that like Loki, for example, wants, like he wants the power. He yeah. wants to be sitting
he's
on top.
He's sitting on that throne.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But like, you know, I think that was like one of those things where I can't tell, and it seemed like maybe there was like a lot of fascination with the character of Thanos and the execution of him and like the sort of like, you know, like relatability to sort of like what he's going after. And
it's like he speaks with like such conviction, and he's gone through like bad, you can see like he went through bad things and he has such conviction about what he's talking about. And he's like, I had an idea that would have saved my planet. They didn't listen to me. And then the planet literally collapsed. Everyone on my planet is now dead because they didn't listen to me. So it's like,
right.
he has like such a reason to believe that he's right about everything.
Yes.
And he like goes about, and he even like does like small scale tests where, you know, he goes like different planets and like kills half the population. And they're like, everyone's better now. And you're like, that's complete crap, dude.
Right. But right. Yeah, no, yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And it's just like, yeah. it's such like a dangerous way to think is sort of like, by like what it ends up doing is makes for like a story that like can draw you in that much more. But I do see the exact point you're talking about, where it's like, but there's also like a dangerous line that you start to walk a little bit, where it's like,
right.
you can't have a villain who is suggesting these types of things be too compelling,
right?
Because like that ends up having like its own problems, like right. in other ways.
It's like, that's I think what makes like Disney villains like kind of great, because it's like they're so obviously evil.
Oh yes.
You know, and it's like, if Thanos is out there just like preaching and being like hilariously maniacal, it's like no one's ever gonna take him seriously. But they don't. They make him extremely grounded and like logical and like with like a tragic backstory, and you're suddenly like, oh man, maybe this guy's got something to say.
Right.
It's like, yeah, he like talks so calmly about everything. He's not like the other villains you've seen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's very interesting. But although I think like when it comes like to Disney villains though, I do think it's interesting to take characters and make them so much more, like to make like what their villainous nature being something that is something that might happen out here in the real world. So one of the videos that we've talked about a whole bunch of times is like, what was Mother Gothel's power, like over Rapunzel?
Yeah.
And it's gaslighting.
Yeah, basically.
If you've ever heard that term, or if you've ever like struggled to like understand what it means, watch the movie Tangled, because that is what Mother Gothel is doing the whole time.
Yeah.
And basically like Rapunzel, who has never left a tower and has only ever known one other person, like, is highly susceptible to it.
Right. She has like no points of reference to know when something is or isn't her fault.
Exactly.
Like everything has been framed as her fault her whole life, so she just accepts it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But then it's like, but I mean, that's the type of thing where it's like, if you go out in the real world, this is not like a super villain like Thanos, who's trying to like wipe out half of the population of the entire universe everywhere. It's like, this is like a very vain person who has one objective, which is to like just maintain their youth at all costs.
Right.
And that cost is basically Rapunzel, who, you know, like the more that she thinks for herself, the more it's like, well, now I have to continue to like manipulate her into staying.
Right.
But it's also something that then happens out in the real world all the time.
Oh yeah.
You know, so it's like a cautionary tale that like you can actually learn from and benefit from, because then you're able to like recognize the signs in the way that Rapunzel was never able to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the exact same thing. This is like Scar's power too, like over Simba.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's your fault, Simba, that your father died.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's like, oh, okay.
Right. Well, then, I mean, of course, you know, Simba's just like way too young. Like, I mean, yeah.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Like,
exactly. He's like, he's just trusting. They had that. That's what that great scene earlier where like Simba's just hanging out with Scar and he's like, what's up, Uncle Scar?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you're so cool. You're so cool and different. And stuff.
Yeah. You're definitely not evil.
Right. It's like, Simba, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, come on, man. Look at that dude. Look at that scar design, man.
How do you think he got that?
How do you think he got that from a wildebeest? What was I going to say? This is, okay, whenever I'm reading, like, fiction or something, there, I feel like one annoying thing that I've started to, like, that really is becoming, like, a pet peeve of mine when I'm watching shows or reading a new book or something is when characters will assign blame unto themselves for things that are clearly not their fault and use that like as their motivation or whatever.
Yeah,
it'll be like, it was my plan to go in there and then that's when my friend died, so it's my fault. And it's like, it's not your fault. That guy is an evil emperor and he is like controlling the, it's his fault, man.
Right.
Like, but they're right. No one will say that to them in the scene. I'm like, as the scene's unfolding, I'm always waiting for some other character to be like, no, it's, what are you talking about? It's definitely not your fault.
Right.
And like, cause you're, if you're the author, you can just be like, man, no one said that, you know,
we just
moved past that and no one made this obvious claim.
This is a burden that you now get to carry with you forever. Yes, enjoy.
It is your fault. It turns out you will believe that character. And it's like, no, I don't, this is my new pet peeve is when people, they do it a lot in Outer Banks, the show that I'm presently watching.
Oh, sure.
John B.
Yep.
It's his fault all the time, man. He loves for stuff to be his fault.
Poor John B.
Yeah, that guy has a rough life. They can't do anything, man. Everything always turns into a huge fiasco.
It really does. It really does. That show is one of those where they will like grant you on occasion these moments where you just get to see them living like the life that is perfect. Like, you know, they'll get to have like their campfire party and they're all just hanging out and everybody's getting along. And you're like, it's like the entire reason you're pulling for them all the time is just so they can get back to this moment again. And it's like, that's all I want. I just want you guys to be happy.
Oh man.
And for everybody to be able to hang.
Right. This is, if you watch the show, do you ever watch The Flash on the CW?
I have watched like seasons of it, but like at this point in time, it's like, is it still on?
It is over now.
Yeah, okay. How long has it been over?
I think it was, for a couple of years now.
Okay. I feel like I watched it in like 2015.
Okay.
So
yeah, I felt like got to this, like there's this very recurring scene at the end of the seasons, like after they would, you know, defeat the baddie or whatever, it'd always just be like having a barbecue in Barry's backyard or whatever.
Oh, sure.
And they'd
sure.
be out there and everyone would just be sitting at a picnic table like, oh, we're all such chums. You know, look at this great thing. And it always felt like it was the exact same thing. Like, this is what look at everyone being happy. They did it. This is what they were working for. This picnic. It feels like their reward for defeating whatever like literal world threatening threat they had to overcome this season is always like a one night barbecue. And it's like, man, and it seems like year after year, it's the same barbecue.
Right.
Can we give them a little more?
Like, Alex, here you go. What do we need in the funding
We need
department?
A little more to be rooting for.
Yes. Yeah. Than a picnic. But like, even like the Fast and the Furious saga, I feel like it's the exact same thing. It's like you see them all sitting in the backyard of their house and they're also almost always having a barbecue, and it's the first person who reaches for food has to say grace, and they have Coronas, and you're like, yeah, this is, I can see why you'd want to like maintain this,
right?
Even if it means like having to go and use ultra nuclear magnets to drag a safe through half of Brazil
or
something.
This is what it's all for, man.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all for this grill. That's all that anyone really wants, I think, is just to be grilling with their buddies.
Incidentally, I really desperately want them to make a Lilo and Stitch movie that features Vin Diesel where he says the phrase "Ohana means family."
Like Vin Diesel would be he'd be great as like the alien or like the bodyguard dude.
Yeah, is his name Mr. Bubbles?
Mr. Bubbles, yes. Yeah. Vin Diesel would be a great Mr. Bubbles.
That would be
they
a really
1000% do that.
Absolutely. So if anybody from Disney is listening and you're just like, oh, okay, we need some inspo for how we do the Lilo mm-hmm. and Stitch. Yeah, which that's another one. Like, you know, so like when they made Sonic, and there was like that first wave of like the Sonic image with like the teeth that like right or whatever, and it was like do you remember this, like when the Sonic movie came out,
and, like, I remember they came out with like artwork and everyone was like ugh.
Yes, I feel like at some point in time the struggle they will have with the live action Lilo and Stitch is going to be how do you depict Stitch.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, because like, he'll definitely just be like CGI.
He'll definitely be CGI, and the question is whether or not like you maintain the aesthetic of Stitch as you know him, or how well will that transfer over to like a more live action form.
Right. Yeah. Like how photorealistic do you start making Stitch?
Right. So whoever designed, here's my other piece of advice. Whoever designed Grogu.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it needs to be that person.
It needs to be that person, which means that some of the time Stitch should be a puppet.
Oh,
right.
Or alternatively, all the time.
I think Grogu is mostly a puppet, right?
I think so.
I'm all for puppet Stitch over CGI Stitch.
And Vin Diesel playing
Mr. Bubbles. Yes.
And he has to say Ohana means family.
Ohana means family. It absolutely has to happen. Yes. He has to say it. Yeah. That's what has to happen.
I'm wondering the I'm going to call it the Venn diagram instead of a Venn diagram of people right now who are listening that both understand why he would say that because they've watched Fast and the Furious and have also watched Lilo and Stitch. Like, is there enough overlapping like circle?
The closer
there
we get to that being a perfect circle, the closer we are to like a perfect society. You
that's
know?
That's the rule. Yeah. Okay.
That's
so
the rule.
Like the if you can find the world where everybody has seen both the Fast and the Furious saga and also Lilo and Stitch, mm-hmm. then it's like we're the bubbles of like life existence will have like merged together into one, and
right.
we will have found
it's
perfection.
Really almost the same thing Groot says in the first Guardians movie when he's like, "We are Groot." It's like he may as well just be saying like family.
It's so true. There's nothing Vin Diesel loves more than family.
Oh man. Yeah, so that'd be great. I'm rooting for all of that.
Okay, mm-hmm. okay. Good spot for a transition.
Transition! Popcorn Culture is supported by Arena Club. Okay, so you guys know that I love trading card games and that me and Ben are big time collectors of Pokemon cards. You know, it's that childhood fantasy of finally being able to use adult money to buy those highly coveted rares of our youth. And like, even in our office, we have not one, but two full display cases with some of our all time favorite rarest cards that we've pulled. But something I did not know existed when I was a kid in my youth was the grading process for trading cards or sports cards or whatever you're collecting. You know, to me it was just like a rare Charizard is a rare Charizard. Like, it doesn't matter if it's been hanging out in my pocket with my lucky paper clip. Turns out it does matter, and kind of a lot, because if you get your cards professionally graded, it can add huge value. And then not only that, but once they're graded, they will like seal them in that pristine condition inside of a plastic case, or what's known in the industry as a slab. And that's where Arena Club steps in, because it's like buying a booster pack, but it's for a pre-graded card. Now, I know that can take like maybe a second to wrap your head around, because you're opening physical cards on a digital platform, which means you open the pack online and see your pulls where they can be added to your showroom for the world to see, but you can also request them to be sent to you at any time. So they have got a ton of pre-graded cards, and then you will get to randomly open one, and then they'll keep it for you, or they can send it to you, or you can just like sell it or trade it online or whatever you want to do. But whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. And right now you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/poppop, which, wow, that is a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's like $40 right there. Anyway, that's arenaclub.com/poppop for 10% off your first purchase.
Pop Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all are likely aware of the fact that we have our very own Shopify store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile. And it's hard to imagine not having it now, but arriving at the decision to open our own web store was a big one. In fact, we started our journey on the interweb back in 2012 and didn't finally open up shop until 2018. And a huge part of that is just not knowing where to start, but that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, which is a fancy way of saying it's a really easy and effective way to start an online business, no matter if you're operating out of your garage or have like a whole building or three or something. Once we were set up, our biggest concern was trying a new product, only to discover no one was interested in it. But Shopify is powered with so many reports, more than you can even imagine. And this is so handy because it allows us to use data to better provide what folks are actually interested in. It's so easy to use, but even if you do find yourself caught in a jam, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/poppop.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, Jay, let me tell you about spark plugs.
Oh. Okay, Grandpa.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I don't even take that as a compliment.
You should.
Yeah. I feel like this is like one of those memories I always have that possibly you don't have, was that Grandpa had, I think we talked about it last week, the three-wheeler. And as a child, I feel like before he ever let me ride it, he made me like change the spark plugs.
He never made me change the spark plugs on the three-wheeler.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so as a kid, I think for a very, very, very long period of time, I would have marked changing the spark plugs akin to like a transmission rebuild,
right,
which like the difference between those two things are the difference between reading a coloring book and reading the dictionary,
right?
Like,
yeah.
They are like, changing spark plugs is like the easiest thing in the world to do.
Yeah,
it's like you unscrew something and it is the light bulb. It is a light bulb for like
for
motors,
your car, right?
But like the thing is that most of the time when you like look at a motor, it's intimidating and you're like, this is a whole bunch of wires. And I feel like if I unplug anything at all, then like something's going to go wrong.
Right. Like if I move anything, I would feel unsafe driving.
Yes, exactly. And so a few weekends ago, I had just like a lake day where we took the boat out. And as a reminder, my boat is a 1975. It was purchased by our great grandmother, which we realized this the other day that Addie, who is her great, great granddaughter, right? Yes.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah. Has ridden in the boat that she bought in 1975. And we're like, how freaking cool is that?
That's pretty cool.
Like, could you imagine like being like, I'm gonna buy this, you know, for my grandson, who is our dad, and like, you know, so that he could enjoy it,
right,
as a 15-year-old.
Right.
And now his grandchildren are enjoying the same.
Pretty
one.
Crazy.
That's like a really good use. And I have the original receipt from the original purchase of this boat. And
that's
in 1975, it was $4,000.
That is unbelievable.
How cool, right?
Very cool.
I think it's amazing. Anyway, so Grandpa has done a fantastic job for our whole life maintaining it and allowing it to continue to exist, which is how like I have now come to have it myself. And it's like one of those things like where we've known for a lot of our life, because even by the time we were kids growing up in the 90s and going behind it, it was already at that point in time like 20 to 25 years old,
right?
Like, it was already a little bit long in the tooth, as they say. And you know, like what noise idle and this, that, and the other. And so for the most part, I have felt like so lucky, but I don't think that like Alice or anyone else who ever goes out in the boat with me knows like how aware I am of like the potential likelihood that like you might turn the key and it might not turn on.
Right.
Like every single time it turns on again, I'm like,
we did it.
It worked again. And I have had just like a sheer run of luck, I have felt, because I've used it for the past couple of summers and everything has been going great. And I've been so happy with it.
Haven't had to do any like electrical rewiring or anything.
Yeah, no, nothing super wild. But we were coming back a couple of weekends ago and we had been out at this like rock structure at Smith Mountain Lake where you can like jump off these rocks and it's really cool. And we were there with somebody who was like really like worried about jumping off the rocks. And so like we kind of like did the thing where you like idle around the spot for like 45 minutes to an hour. So boat was basically just kind of like chugging, like, you know, in a circular pattern for like this big long stretch of time. And which is totally fine. I mean, that's like part of the fun of it for me is like, you know, like, let that person like have all the time they need. And then then they'll jump. And you know what will happen is they'll be like a new person.
It's like they got a brand new wig.
It's like they got a brand new wig. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Or a brown t-shirt. Depending on how you look at it. Anyway, so everything had been going great. I've been so proud of the boat all day. We got back in and like there's like another pontoon that was like hanging out next to us that was just like doing the exact same thing, like watching their kids, you know, go and jump. And like as I was getting ready to pull off, they were like, I love the boat. Like, this is awesome. It's so cool. And I was like, thank you so much. Like, you know, I was like, I'm so glad that like, you know, I've got it and it's still running and everything. And like I go to sort of do like a cool like pull off thing and I like put the thing all the way down and the boat goes, and I was like,
oh man,
what are the odds that it happened right after somebody complimented it? It was like,
oh man,
shoot darn. So that was a bit of like a like, oh man, okay, a little bit of a bummer that happened. So the boat basically like is like you can hear the motor itself like is not firing on all cylinders. And like, so I'm at this point in time, like I've got like a boat full of people and I'm pretty embarrassed and I'm like, you know, like, oh man, okay, we gotta get back. And like, so the boat's going like 12 miles an hour,
yeah,
from the rock structure all the way back to, you know, the takeout spot.
Yeah, it's taken a while.
It's taken a while. And it's like one of those things where like, I'm like, what if it stops entirely between here and like the takeout or something goes wrong or whatever else. So I'm like, I'm super in my head about it and like very aware of like all the, you know, like potential, I don't know, bad things that could be happening.
Yeah, you're going to have to be rowing.
Yeah, going to have to be rowing. Or like, again, like, you know, I think even the fact that like it has now existed for so long, like I don't want to be the one that like causes it like the final like nail in the coffin or something like that. Like, it'd be like, I had it, grandpa had it from 1975 till 2021. I had it from 2021 to 2023.
Yeah, sure.
Like, right. That's not a long enough period of
time. That's
it. Yeah. Anyway, so I feel like I'm making it sound like a lot worse than it was, because ultimately I was kind of like, well, probably what I need to do is go in and change the spark plugs.
Right.
And make sure that like everything is like up to snub. But it's basically been since like 1996, since the last time I've changed any spark plugs in anything, which happened to be the three-wheeler, which grandpa also owns.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, man, I don't know what this is going to be like. Like, I don't know what I'm going to need to do. I don't know if I'm going to be able to like find the appropriate like parts, you know, like we've talked about this so many times here recently where it's like you trying to fix your shower and it's like what cartridge do I need to go in and like,
oh, make exactly this? And you're like, you know I'm looking at like a Moen faucet from 20 years ago. You're looking for like spark plugs that are gonna fit in your boat from 1975.
Exactly, you know? Yes.
Like, yeah, it's like, is that model still going to be available? Or yeah,
right. So anyway, this is like one of those things though where it's like I go through and I'm like trying to like methodically like figure out all the things, and I'm like pulling the old ones out and I'm like at Advanced Auto Parts and I'm like showing them these and they're like, well, we don't have those, but these are supposedly comparable. And I'm like,
supposedly comparable sounds like they're not going to work.
I feel like you don't understand. This is like really old, and there's a good chance that like they don't even make these parts anymore. I probably have to go and like find some in a barn from someone who bought them for the exact same boat and never used them. Like,
right, yeah.
In my head, like that's
this is what you're dealing with, right?
Right, like this
you're
is
gonna
like,
have to go meet a guy out in a field and dig through a bunch of antique parts and
literally though. Yeah. Like I talked to Dad on the phone, and he's like, I saw a junkyard somewhere. I bet there's one out there somewhere that we could go and find. And I'm like, yeah,
that is not what I'm doing.
Yeah, this is probably where we're at. And so like, you know, I'm going through anyway, I find plugs that work, whatever. I take the other ones out, which again is like as easy as like unscrewing a light bulb, but it's just not a hard thing to do. Put the other ones back in, and it's like, you know, you take like the little, they call it like a boot, take the boot off, take the other one out, put the new one in, put the boot back on. And I go through and I like one, one, two, two, three, three. And like I go to four and I like take the boot thing off the fourth one and like all of the innards of that boot just fall into my hands.
Oh no.
It is like a bunch of like rust pieces and like coils like, and springs.
I have found the problem.
And it's like, it feels like not only is this the problem right now, but I'm like, how long has this been a problem?
Right.
Like, has it been working the whole time? Like how long have I been struggling with like whatever issue this is?
Yeah.
So it's been like a whole process for me, but I'm also growing so increasingly proud of myself because like I just don't know that much about engines, you know, like I've had other hands-on experience with other activities and like I know how to do some things, but this is one where I'm like I really don't know. I don't know what I'm after. And so like I'm literally using like the Google app to like holding it up to the motor and I'm like, what is this thing? And I'm using like the like image search.
Yeah.
And it like pops up and it's like, so the thing that I need is like a new spark plug wire, not that complicated. But it attaches to something called the, and I wouldn't have known this until I looked it up, the ignition coil.
Ah, the ignition coil, of course.
Yes, yes. And so I'm like telling Dad, I'm like, well, so I feel like the problem is that I need a new spark plug wire, but I don't know what to do because it's attached to the ignition coil and I don't think there's any chance. If I was worried about finding the spark plugs, there's no way in the world I'm going to find this other obscure part.
Yeah.
Which anybody who knows anything about motors probably listening right now is like, you're still not talking about an obscure part. These are still not complicated things. So
is it more the case that like, yes, a spark plug is a spark plug is a spark plug?
It is more the case than you would think. Like yeah. there are a huge diversity of them and like it, in the same way that you can go to the light bulb aisle and there's a whole bunch of different light bulbs depending on what you might need.
Yeah.
But this was the like this next piece I was like, oh, there's no way in the world I'm gonna be able to find this. Like this, the spark plug was maybe one thing, but like if I'm gonna get lucky twice, I doubt it. But sure enough, I was talking to Dad on the phone again and I'm like, I don't know what I'm gonna do about this. And he's like, well, maybe just poke around, see if you can't find anything online. If we have to go to the junkyard, we'll go to the junkyard. I'm like, all right. So
I think Dad wants to go to the junkyard.
Maybe I should call him.
I just want to go scrapping this weekend.
Should we go look for some spark plugs?
Right.
Like, I mean, we can go do that. So anyway, I go online and like literally find it on Amazon with like 2-day shipping for my motor. And it cost $18. I was like, none of this is going how I expected it to. And I'm like, do I know a lot about motors all of a sudden?
Like, am I good
at this? Like literally I went from I have no experience to total Dunning-Kruger. Like I know more around the engine.
Right.
Like way overconfidence. So anyway, the part arrived and now I'm finding myself in a position where I'm like, okay, so I'm going to the lake this weekend as well. And I'm like, maybe I should get out there, see what happens. But worst case scenario, I can tinker with my boat while I'm out there.
Oh no!
And so Alice is like, you're just your grandpa.
Nope.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. You were gonna be out there with all your tools, and you're gonna be like,
you're gonna be out there, and be like, is the boat ready? I'm like, yep. I just gotta paint the trailer real quick.
Yeah, don't mind me.
Like, wait, why? Get some rust on here.
Gotta fix that rust.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. I can see it now.
Yeah.
Okay. This is reminding me a lot. This is clearly very different, but once upon a time, back when I worked at the concert venue.
Nice, bingo.
Yeah, you know, we got, every year we would have monster trucks.
Nice.
Yeah, that was always a great event. I don't know if they still do monster trucks there, because now they have the a minor league hockey team, so the ice is just up all the time now.
That's true, yeah.
So, anyway, we used to have monster trucks every year. And part of the promotional materials that they would send ahead of time were these like awesome, like remote control, like Gravedigger or whatever. But yes. It wasn't just like when we were growing up, we had an abundance of remote control cars.
We were super into remote control cars.
Yeah,
there's
yeah,
no
we
doubt.
We went through a fad. I think we had like 10 at one point, and it was like you almost needed that many because obviously you don't, but it was good because at the time, like the batteries, you would charge it like all day, like the whole day you were at school and come home and you'd put the battery in and you could go drive it for like up to 10 minutes.
Right. Yeah, it was like 12 minutes of fun.
12 minutes of fun. Yay. But then I was like, okay, at least now I can put charge this one again and grab the next one and keep going. And you know, of course they were all whatever. They were all like, you know, kids RC cars, but the ones that they had for monster trucks were these like Traxxas brand, which is like is like probably more like a prosumer grade.
Definitely.
Kind of remote control car where it can get up to like, you know, 20, 30 miles an hour on like the battery, and it would go for like, you know, 20 minutes or something. So it was a little bit longer.
Right, right.
Double the time. But I mean, you could get it moving, and they had like shocks and they would go off jumps. And I remember like, we had to use them for promotional materials or whatever. I was like, I just want one of these because they are so cool.
I do remember this. Yeah.
And I remember like I finally went out and I got one. It was like the Gravedigger one. Like you can get remote control cars that are like, you know, way nicer and like you use actual gas to power them and you can control the range and they can get up to like insane speeds and stuff because effectively you just have like a car engine on like a 3 pound thing. Right, okay. So they can zip.
Dude, can I just say too though, like this was like a really fascinating thing about you having like your first job at the concert venue was that like it was just interesting to see what you were going to end up like being like, I have adult money now and this is what I bought.
Which, so
like I think within the first year one of the things was a super high powered RC car.
Yeah, so it was my Gravedigger monster truck car, which was, you know, I felt like was a super cool toy. But so I quickly learned though that you know, they go fast, which means they crash hard,
right,
which means they, I think, and this was like immediately disheartening because like when you were a kid, you could not drive the cars fast enough to break them really, unless you were like going off, like, you know, just dropping them on the ground. But these, I mean, my Gravedigger would take these tumbles. And I remember like maybe on like the second or third day of having it, like it took a crash and I went by and I was like, the plastic, like one of the plastic pieces was just broken. And I was like, this was like $200. Like, what is this?
Right.
What nonsense is, I was like, this is what, like, I'm never going to be able to fix this.
Right.
What is going on here? Oh, but man, was I super duper wrong about this. And it was like the, you know, it was so fun driving it around, but like the piece broke and that led me into like the actual hobby.
Which is repairing
which
it.
Which is, yeah. When you buy an RC car, like driving it is the goal, but the hobby is repairing it.
Yeah.
Like this is what really happened. So I remember like, you know, I went back and I found the little booklet that had all like the parts in it or whatever. And I was like, okay, I got to figure out which one broke. And I went through and I like, you know, looked it up online and I ordered the pieces and I was like, well, you know what? I may as well get, obviously the plastic's no good. So I have to like almost like upgrade it into this like anodized aluminum stuff.
What could be better?
What could be better? And I remember it came in and I was like, I set it on the kitchen table and I had to like meticulously take apart like every single piece to get to the part I needed. And then like I could replace it and put it all back together. And then like I did that and I was like, okay, well, clearly, because now I, you know, only broke the plastic side on this side, but it has a matching counter piece on this side, and may as well, you know, it came with both, so let's replace them both.
Right.
And, you know, you replace those pieces, and I remember fixing it the first time, and I was like, that man, I'm so proud of myself. I, like, took this entire piece of, like, machine apart and put it back together.
Yes!
With, like, parts I ordered, and it's like, and it's not only that, but it's better, it's stronger now. And then I remember thinking like, okay, good. I fixed the braking problem. So now it won't break anymore. But sure enough, like, you know, a week later, pff, crash, different piece broke. And it became this like weird, like rinse repeat cycle of like, as soon as you upgrade something, it just means like the next weakest thing is the most likely thing to break.
Yes.
It's so, like slowly my like truck, which I had no intention of upgrading at all, like got like all these cool like metal parts attached to it that like made it like look cooler, and like I could like unassemble the entire thing and put it all back together like no problem. And it was like, this is like extremely diet mechanic work is basically what it is. I could do it on my kitchen table, but like this is, I think, effectively, like if you're just taking apart cars all day, like this is mostly what it is memorizing how to take it apart and how to put it back together.
Yes.
And just putting the new piece in there and having the new piece and knowing what the new piece is supposed to be. And that is, I think, you know, mostly it. And it was just like such a fun process. Like
the real journey were the parts you replaced along the way.
Exactly. Yeah. It was like, yeah. And then, so that's fun. These days, I don't think I've driven that truck in like probably 10 years or something at this point. And, you know, the kids discovered it at some point and they just like pushing it around with their hands and they've run it into walls and broken it in new, fun, different ways, which I don't think I are, I think it is beyond repair at this point. Like the foundation of it is gone, but it's that's okay. I wasn't using it anymore.
right. Yeah. No, yeah. It is really interesting though, because I feel like it goes back to something I was trying to explain a few weeks ago on the pop, which is like I feel like you and I have also sort of both like independently from each other sort of found the joy in gardening like kind of like doing these types of things. And the conclusion of like my own concocted theory here is that like I always go back to like the hierarchy of needs or whatever, and on the bottom rung of the hierarchy of needs is usually described as like food, water, shelter. And probably in the modern era, you might like look at things like food, water, shelter, and then like you might even like see something like your vehicle mm-hmm. as like one of those like base needs. Like I need this in order to get to the places that like I need to go on like a regular basis, and in order to like keep the rest of everything else in motion.
Uh-huh.
And so I wonder if on some level, like that's where making or even just like fixing like your home, like being able to repair like, you know, little things that like might come up on a regular basis that could impact your overall like level of comfort that you expect out of your home is like having hot water in your shower, for example.
Right.
Like, you know, if you know how to fix that in the event that something goes wrong, I do think it becomes like incredibly empowering, because it's like now it's almost like, well, if something goes wrong, I know how to fix it.
Right.
You know, and then like I think that sensation of empowerment also then comes with a high level of enjoyment over something, which like, so going back to like that idea of like, you know, like, oh, I'm going to spend like a portion of my vacation working on my motor. It's like, as a kid, I was always like, why don't you do this when we're not here?
Right.
So that like when we are here, we can do the fun thing and you don't have to go and work on it.
We can go fishing and water skiing and stuff.
Right. But the thing is that in your everyday life, you have so many different distractions going on. And so it's like the ability to go and be like, I have nothing else to worry about right now. I can go and be focused exclusively on fixing this thing. And then if anything, I'm kind of having some fun doing it.
Right.
It's like, I see how it got to the way that it got to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I can like feel myself stepping into those shoes. Mm-hmm. So like in a way that feels like ironic, because I'm like, I have been so critical of this exact thing, and now I'm finding enjoyment.
No, but see, there is a line. It's a good thing to like realize and be aware of. But I do think there is a line where you want to like, I feel like, and nothing against our grandfather or anything like that, but I think he went past the line at some point, and I think he just enjoyed things being broken. Like I think he got I can fix this problem, but if I fix it, I won't have a problem to fix anymore.
Right.
So I'm going to find as many reasons not to fix it as possible or something.
There's a lot of sense of purpose in fixing things though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of fulfillment in having a sense of purpose.
Yeah.
It's all tied together. It's like,
but then it's still broken.
I know. No, I mean, this is very true, but like in the same vein, like there have been times while Vermont is like one of my favorite places to go. It's like like I said before, I think it's like, you know, it's like what Addison is like named after is like the town of Vermont that we go to. And But while I'm there, like a lot of times I'm like, I'm going to go mow the lawn. Like while I'm here, I'm going to bust out the weed eater.
Yeah.
You know, I'll do some weed eating around the property, you know, just like,
right.
I think that there's like, I don't know why. I feel like there is just this like sometimes it almost makes me wonder if we're like vacationing all wrong. It's like maybe like a real vacation is like going into like an escape room, but an escape room where it's like, it's not like solving like mechanical, like it's not solving like riddles and getting like codes for locks and stuff like that. But it's like, if you can repair this small thing, then you can move on to the next stage.
Right.
And it's like, oh, cool.
Mm.
Especially if like all of those things that you were repairing would then like go and improve your everyday life outside of the escape room / repair room.
Right.
You know?
So when you say we're vacationing all wrong, do you mean like you're vacationing wrong by mowing the lawn, or people are vacationing wrong because they're not going on vacation and mowing the lawn?
That's exactly what I was saying.
Okay, right.
Yeah. I can feel you being like, you are incorrect in this conclusion.
Well, I understand, at least at camp, because I remember when we were growing up, we'd be there and our dad's cousins would be there, and they're like, we're all on vacation, we're all here to hang out and have family lake time fun, and you guys are reshingling the roof. And it's like, there's like a certain amount, I think,
it's so true.
What are you doing? Take me out of the boat. And it's like, I think especially with that particular cabin in Vermont, there's like a part of being there is having like a sense of ownership about the property,
right? Which is like, held together with hopes and dreams.
Held together, yeah, with hopes and dreams and scotch tape. It feels like sometimes. So it's not that there's anything wrong with reshingling the roof. It's just like you can definitely call someone to do that if it really, really needs to be done,
yeah.
Right? Like everyone here at least had the resource. Like you have a boat. That the payments on your boat out there have got to cost more than it would to reshingle this roof, because this roof is like 10 square yards big, you know,
right.
If that's being generous, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a particularly massive,
but if this is how you want to spend your vacation, you go for it.
I think it's you know, the challenge of there are like these tasks that like you need to do, that you have to do or whatever, in order for like the place to continue to be. But like, if you're trying to do those in addition to like your everyday like life or job or responsibilities and stuff like that, then it's like, it's really difficult to like find the time and opportunity to like be there and have the focus and the energy to do it. And that's where I feel like it's like, there's something really nice about a task that needs to be done and like not having like this huge sense of like pressure for any other responsibilities other than this like one that's like a fun responsibility. Like, I think that's like where it's like the fun of like repairing the RC car, mm-hmm. is almost like, it's like, you know, it's like, but then it'll run great like in the future, like when I get to play with it, and like you know, like that is of course always the thing at the end of the rainbow. Like that is of course like why all of the other stuff makes sense. But like, I think repairing the thing is almost like, it's like, well, the roof leaks and I can't enjoy just sitting in the living room, like hanging out, like with family, if the roof is leaking, because then like, I'm like preoccupied,
right,
by that leak.
Right.
And so like, if I can go in and fix it, then it's like, aha, then when that moment comes, I'll be able to enjoy it that much more. But then I think the problem does become like the rat race of like, well, I'm going to try to fix all the things all the time.
Yeah.
So that like eventually I can sit down and have fun. And it's like, do you actually want to sit down and have fun?
Or are you getting like over preventative about the things going wrong?
You've lost the plot.
You've lost the plot. Yeah, it's like, yeah. I was like, the roof's not leaking, but I need to reshingle it so it doesn't eventually
right,
leak.
Right.
And you're like, but it's not leaking now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But I do know what you mean, because there was a part of me sometimes that like I'd be out there driving my truck and I'd be like, I almost can't wait for it to break again.
Right. Yeah, it's like, it's been a while.
It's been a while. You know, maybe if it breaks, then I'll get to get it. I'll have an excuse to get a new part.
Exactly. Yeah. But oh man, the sweet anodized aluminum. It's so cool looking until it gets scratched, then you realize that there's no way to make aluminum blue all the way through. It's only on the surface.
It's only on the surface, but yeah, they're pretty well protected by the roll cage and stuff, so
that's a good point.
Not too big a deal.
Can I just say that I'm amazed at the fact that over the course of the past hour I have completely adjusted to your new hair.
Yeah.
And it's like, it'll almost be strange for me for you to take it off at this point.
It's like that episode of How I Met Your Mother where they convinced Ted to go blonde.
Oh, yes.
But it's exactly like that. Right. And like by the end of the episode, they're like, oh my God, is everyone starting to think Ted looks really cool blonde?
I love the fact that, because they're having the conversation like mentally, right?
Yeah,
like
they're all having telepathic conversations. Like, that's one of my favorite things about that show. Like, everyone calm down. We have an opportunity.
Right. Ted might dye his hair blonde.
Yeah.
Oh, good times. Anyway, it feels like a great place to close out today's episode. I feel like we've hit a bunch of high points, really.
There's no doubt.
This is what Wigged Jay does for us.
This is what Fry Jay does.
Fry Jay. There we go. I was like, I know we have a name for this. We just came up with it. It was so clever and meaningful. Anyway, guys, as ever, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. If you would like some extra popcorn culture action, you can check out After the Final Pop. It's an extra show that we do. It's an extra 15 to 20 minutes of Jay and I talking about something we either got to in the main episode or didn't get to in the main episode. There's some real gems out there. You can do so by checking out the $5 tier at patreon.com/popcornculture. But otherwise, until next time.
Pop, pop.